Welcome to The Fame Game, the podcast with me, Kimberly Wyatt, who you'll probably know from the Pussycat Dolls.
It's not called The Fame Game.
Yes, it is.
It's called So You've Decided to Become Famous.
Boring.
And me, Max Rogers. As well as being married to said Kimberly Wyatt, I am a model and broadcaster.
Setting the name aside, what we can agree on is this podcast is all about fame. It's fair to say we've both experienced fame in its many forms, the highs and very much the lows. On this podcast, we're not holding back and putting all the cards on the table. We're pulling back the curtain and shining a big old spotlight on this age-old thing we call fame.
This is So You've Decided to Become Famous. And this week, find out what made Kim say this.
And they were trying to make it out like him and I were together.
This is The Fame Game. And this week, find out what made Max say this.
Oh my God, what happened at the wedding that made her cry?
I feel like we could call life a date with fame.
We could.
I like it.
Great.
I think if I was listening to this podcast, wanting to gain some advice, I'd want to know, the first thing I'd have in my head is it like the plot of Notting Hill?
Oh, I think that's the dream. That's the dream plot.
Well, Richard Curtis is pretty...
He's brilliant.
He does that, doesn't he? He does that. I wonder if he's the reason why people might be interested in dating or being friends with a famous person, because he does make it look wonderful.
He does. But also by showing the pitfalls as well. I felt like it was summed up quite perfectly when Hugh Grant's character finds himself in the interviews, standing as the horse and hound.
Constantly happening to me, that is. It's so true to life.
But what is it really like?
Well, I mean, I think that ultimately the answer is it's like any other relationship.
What is it like to date me?
Yeah. How do you know I'm not the famous one? I think ultimately it becomes like any other relationship. You develop your way with one another. But I think that the beginning stages of the relationship are different to that which you would have with a non-famous person.
I would say probably can be quite exciting. Like, fame can be exciting. The fact that somebody's well-known is exciting. For the longest time, being well-known meant that you were known for something, which would lead to maybe a talent.
I'm not necessarily interested in your fame per se, but having said that, it opened some doors and we did some fun stuff as a result of that. So I enjoyed myself in a way that I hadn't enjoyed myself before. So it is exciting, like you say. But also, it's a precursor to the fact, or it's a post-cursor, in fact, to the fact that you're incredibly talented. And that's what I first saw when I watched you rehearsing at Clothes Show. We hadn't met, of course. Yeah.
And straight from America, straight to rehearsal for Clothes Show live on stage. And I had like 3 hours. So, of course, I went straight into work mode and was just picking up on it with Andy Turner.
I should tell this because you're not going to do yourself enough justice. Right?
Well, I learned 5, 6, 7, 8. We were good to go.
No, I didn't mean like that. Basically, I always loved to watch. It was my favorite thing to do. I wouldn't take my breaks when the models left the stage. I'd watch the dancers rehearsing because I love it. I love watching dance. I think it's incredible.
And we are pretty amazing.
I think it's pretty incredible how they pick up the choreography so incredibly quickly and how it all gets put together. I'm fascinated by that as someone who can't do it for shit. When you showed up, I did the usual thing, told the lads, come on, we're going to watch this dancing. BB had pre-warned me that you were particularly good.
Love BB.
So I sat and watched you and all of us were absolutely blown away with how incredible it was. But not just that, all the dancers have been working on this for like a week because it's that big of a performance. You picked it up in 3 hours. It was unbelievable. Now, at this point, I'm so impressed by you. You have got a slight head start on me. We haven't even met yet, but I'm impressed by you. And I guess I'm impressed by the thing that makes you famous. It's not your fame, but your talent that leads to your fame is impressive and it's exciting for me. And it's a reason why I'm still inspired by you today. So to say no, I wouldn't be interested, or the question we asked today, to say no to that question, I would argue that.
And I guess on the flip side, to a certain extent, like being a pussycat doll and being part of an ensemble, we were quite intimidating wherever we went, but I think especially to men. They didn't really know how to take it. And I guess we all had a bit of a persona within the group as well. So being punk doll, like, it comes with its own like tenacity and something that's almost expected of
you. Well, you're a heightened version of yourself, which isn't necessarily true when you're not on stage.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, as an individual, I can be especially shy and dating and all that sort of thing. So trying to like find somebody you are on a level with and can have a laugh with. I found it really difficult when I was in a member of the Pussycat Dolls. And then going from that landing, you know, afterwards leaving the group and being in a place of having to engage in social media and figuring that out and figuring out the dating life, exceptionally difficult because, you know, if anybody goes to date me, they can do a big old Google and have a real understanding of who I am, where I come from, and where I'm going. If I was to do a Google of somebody that doesn't have much of a profile, I'm not going to get any information on them, which for some would be fine.
It's a slight imbalance as you're setting up.
But the imbalance...
So yeah, it creates a slight imbalance in your starting point together.
But I guess when I met you and you were blowing up my DMs...
Shortly after we did Clothes Show together, and to be clear, we didn't really connect to Clothes Show. You had in-ears in,
yeah,
which makes it impossible to chat somebody up. It takes 20 minutes to take the in-ears off. But then after the show, I flew immediately out to, I think it might have, LA or New York, and you were flying back to LA or New York, and we both tweeted that we were in the airport, and I was like, oh, we're in the same airport at the same time. So we kind of connected then. We didn't see each other because we're in different terminals, unfortunately.
What was nice in those moments of starting to connect with you in a way was that I was able to do a Google and see a lot of your magazine covers and a lot of the work that you've done as a model, and know that you've worked with some incredible creative directors and fashion people and loads of circumstances that we would be able to connect or have an understanding of each other.
Yeah, there's immediately common ground. I guess people do it now this was pre-Tinder and all those kind of things. People do that now by just having a profile. So it's not that unusual. So we got to, at least before you started, you got to say, oh, there's going to be some common ground here. We might know some of the same people. We've been to some of the same places.
And that's right.
He's going to get it.
Yeah. Especially speaking of Tinder, the day that the car and I get a phone call from...
We'd been dating a while now, haven't we? Still new. People were still interested in us. Yeah, but we were still quite private. Nobody had seen to the home. Like, we were still perhaps interested. Once they realise you're boring, they leave you alone and you can get on with your lives. We still hadn't been fully... assigned as boring at this point.
And I got a phone call. I think it was from the press team I was working with for whatever project at the time. And they were saying that they'd just gotten a call from a certain media, something or other.
The Daily Mail.
Saying that you had a Tinder profile. And I burst out laughing. I think that they were expecting me to be upset or worry.
Maybe reel from it a little bit. No.
I laughed.
I'm almost offended by your reaction at this point. I'm like, well, hold on a minute. I could have a Tinder profile. What if I am a bit of a player on the side? Maybe you do have to.
No, but you're a very loyal, wonderful guy that loves your creature comfort.
Thank you. We're headed back up the hill. We've run out of steam again and we're backpedaling down.
But I know there's no way in hell you would ever bother yourself with a Tinder profile.
It is true. I could not be asked for that. And I'm so happy that we were before that. We met before that and we got our relationship status securely sorted before all that nonsense came along. I sympathize with all of you who have to do that.
But that's the thing. I think the fame game can bring a lot of insecurities out in people that are dating, especially when it comes to the person that might not be as famous with the person that is potentially really famous. Hugh Grant has a big reason to maybe feel insecurities when Julia Roberts is on her press junket, right?
That's it. I mean, you're facing a situation where nobody's interested in you at all, to the point where you might even be backed into the corner of a room because they're so interested, particularly in the work environment, in the famous person. There's a level of adulation that comes with that. People who are adoring of you aren't interested in your significant others.
Yeah.
They're insignificant others to them. And they may have followed you. They may, like some of your fans have followed you and been a part of your life for a longer relationship, if hopefully less involved.
But way more loyal. Their loyalty goes many, many years beyond what you could ever give me.
But yeah, that's it. You have to be aware of that and be accepting and allowing of it and knowing that it's work.
Yeah.
Where some people go.
But I guess it also depends on what sort of fame you bring. Like I'm quite project based. Like I love to act or DJ or, you know, do the various projects that I do. But some people do trade more on maybe image.
Here's the thing where it affects relationships. You may have built up a profile and be quite comfortable with your personal brand and the public's response to you. And then you fall in love with somebody and it may become less relevant, yeah, less comfortable. Your partner may not be comfortable with the world sharing in more intimate details of you, whether that be skin or, you know, showing your breakfast off on it.
And you do probably present yourself, well, some people probably present themselves maybe a bit differently when they're in singledom as they do when they're in a relationship, totally, which is okay.
I tell you, that's totally, totally normal.
Yeah.
And that adaption, it might be more challenging to make that adaption with your public image.
Yeah.
Because people come to expect and enjoy the person you are. That's why they're interested.
Yeah. But I, even in saying that, I think about when we chatted about Loaded and the pressure that I felt for that cover, that he wanted me to spread my legs a bit more and be a bit more raunchy. I guess everybody knows their barometer, but only because it's like an inner intuition within you that you have to tap into.
And that, see, that therein might be the difficulty. If you are comfortable with where your lines are,
yeah,
with regards to that, and you meet somebody who you're incredibly happy with, but maybe perhaps isn't quite as comfortable, but we know a situation that's been like that, and it did unfortunately end up destroying the relationship.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, though, two famous people dating each other, it can get complicated. It gets competitive as well, if somebody else is shining a bit brighter than the other one. And
you then start stepping on each other's toes, and maybe you're having a good day, but they're having a bad day. Very difficult to celebrate success when somebody else is not doing so well in the same world.
Yeah.
I think that would probably be similar for if two accountants got together and one got a promotion and one didn't.
It's, sure.
I was very
upset about the fact that my big dream was to be on a billboard in New York Times Square. And who got there first?
I've had four.
Oh my God.
And buses in London, which was mine.
We had a video in Times Square.
We were talking there about famous people and famous things. There is, of course, the thing that we know nothing about.
The contracts?
The contracts.
What contracts?
Exactly. Do they exist? Not officially. Definitely not. But yes.
I've heard stories. I'm telling you, I've heard lots of stories. And
you, anybody that you'd like personally know, or you, have you, you've never been offered a, like, or suggested to maybe go on a date with somebody and see what happens?
I mean, I've gotten caught in a circumstance that was never meant to be what it was. I mean, it's how I got in the Pussycat Dolls, actually. It was MTV, yep, series of The Newlyweds with Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson.
Those of a certain age should remember.
Yes, it's a great show. And part of it was Nick Lachey hiring female dancers for his solo tour.
Yep.
And I went to that audition.
Yep.
Robin Anton is the creator of the Pussycat Dolls. She was a choreographer for that particular moment for Nick. Mm-hmm. And it was that after that audition that I got the call asking me to not only be Nick Lachey's dancer and be part of the Newlywed series for MTV, but to also join the Pussycat Dolls. So I ended up doing both. And so we did all the rehearsals and stuff with Nick.
You were working together as an ensemble group.
He, yes,
was the artist. You were the dancer.
Yes.
A lot of other dancers as,
yes,
well.
Three other dancers.
You can watch all this on the internet. It's all there. Everybody flies home separately to their various destinations.
Sure.
You happened to be both going back to probably LA.
Where I can't remember what. No, we were headed to the gig. Oh, yeah, I feel like it was in Detroit or something.
Okay, so you're on the same plane?
No, different plane.
Okay, different planes. They both get grounded.
Grounded for weather.
For weather.
Yes.
Which can happen. You then, yes, both find yourself in the same airport. Everybody else somewhere else.
Same hotel.
Conveniently somewhere else. You then leave the hotel. You leave the airport. You've got to go and stay in a hotel for the night.
You arrive
at check-in and it's just you two.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, we're on the same job. We're on the same... All this seems rather innocent. Like, if you're working with somebody, you're stuck in the middle of nowhere.
But the Paps didn't want it to be innocent. I guess I had long blonde hair and big dark sunglasses. And maybe they were mistaking me for Jessica. I think that was part of it. But it got to the point where they were following the two of us. And I guess we were alone in an airport together and made quite the story of it. To the point that I went home, was back in LA and had quite a night out. I think I'd had quite a few drinks. I was feeling a bit worse for wear. I was still in bed when I got banging at my door and I run to open it. The Pap, and they were trying to make it out like him and I were together and really, I think, just playing into the story of making Jessica Simpson really jealous.
And but, I think they're making a TV show and the conflict was that Jessica's going to be jealous of one of the dancers.
Yeah.
So all this kind of helped and sounded like it was probably... Did you read the script? Because that might all have been in the script.
Maybe.
It sounds incredibly well scripted.
Yeah.
But that can happen. Not necessarily a contract, but a situation, a manufactured...
But a manufactured situation can land in a way that it affects you. Because I think later, I remember winning one of our VMAs, Best Dancing in a Video, or Best Dance Video, and came out and I was sort of walking, I was sort of first in line to go up to Jessica to get it, and she just kind of turned. And I was like, okay, she's not going to give it to me. That's fine.
What are the chances of you winning best dancer in a video and the person giving the award out is Jessica Simpson?
I don't know.
What are the chances? Almost seems pre-planned again, to be honest.
Maybe I'm all part of a bigger plot that I had no idea I was a part of.
Maybe. What's our role in this situation?
I don't know.
After a while, once they found out that you're boring and that you're not interested...
speak for yourself.
And that you have to come out and you're literally starting to make podcasts so people will actually listen to anything you've got to say. You do develop a... We have a slight work mode, right?
Sure.
Like when we're public facing and when we're doing interviews, you sort of snap into this sort of slightly heightened versions of ourselves. And that's kind of shared. Like if you weren't there, I'd probably be a heightened version of a different version of myself. And likewise that. But when we're together, we kind of, we click into our chemistry.
Well, that's the funny thing about fame that's different than even going to like an event is you're going to feel famous. You put on your makeup and you do your hair and you get the right outfit and you go out there to feel as famous
as... Like New Year's Eve, you go out to have a good time, you go out to sort of...
I don't go to my friend's birthday party to go and feel really famous and feel that notoriety that you go out when you're going to work to do what it is that you do. And part of it is
tapping into
putting
that,
on that face.
Persona. And after a while, we now have kind of a shared...
Persona.
That we're putting on the podcast.
Well, am I the downtrodden housewife?
Yeah, totally. Doesn't it sound like that?
I mean, I'd always given myself the rule of like, do not date a model.
Yeah.
Sorry, but there was been many male models that I have met in the past, mostly LA, I will say, where you go to just have a conversation because you end up at the same party or thing with them. And there just wasn't a whole lot of bants.
That is a...
I know, it's really stereotypical.
Generalization now.
I know, but look, but it's the biggest compliment to you because you broke the bubble of the, like, don't date models thing that I had in my head.
Lads around the world, you are welcome.
but yeah, I do feel like it can be very difficult as a somewhat famous person to...
And seemingly a model.
Make good choices. And feel comfortable and feel safe in this crazy world of dating. So happy to be married because the whole dating thing and relationships is so difficult anyway, let alone adding the fame game on top of that.
I think it's more difficult than ever it was either. Because at least we had a choice and although it was challenging sometimes coming out of clubs and restaurants and things, to remain secret so that we can figure it out together, we can get to know each other. And, you know, like from fairly early on, we kind of felt good about this. But at the same time, you don't want to, you know, splash your love all over the world and then
like, how hard will it be to be
up.
A famous person and be like, so what app did you meet on? Like, the thought of going on an app to date somebody, especially being in the public eye, I can't imagine.
Sounding incredibly old there and probably alienating a lot of...
Well, I'm not trying to alienate. I am giving a lot of love out there to everybody that is going through it because I just can't imagine how difficult it must be.
Yes, we're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's stay married just so we don't have to do the whole app thing.
That's why we're staying married.
Yes.
That's up there above pregnancy at the moment.
The difference between who we are and our persona outside, you know, when we're out in the world, compared to who we are inside in our little Surrey bubble and in our home. Like, we are very different people.
I mean, it's like work mode, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like going to the office party. You know, there's private and there's public. I don't think we're necessarily... As different as some people are.
No.
Like, take sort of, like, Lee, for example, Lee Francis.
Yeah.
When he's on stage, he's nothing like he is at home. And even halfway between, when we bump into him at parties and events and things, he's great fun. But I would imagine if you then went back to his house, he'd be so polar opposite to who he was on stage. And some people do it that way to kind of protect themselves. They create a character. We're not, like, full characters, are we? We just have a bit of a work mode where you bring your...
But I guess that's the thing, like being, you know, my whole life as a kid was being a dancer. And that was all about being in my leotard and tights or tracksuits and sweatpants or whatever it was to get to rehearsal space. And it's just all about the work that you were doing in that rehearsal space. It was not about how you looked or the pictures you were taking or any of that stuff. And that was all leading you up to that moment where you're in costume and hair and makeup and on stage putting on a performance. So I guess ultimately my fame for me has always been about doing all the work to get ready for that moment.
Yeah.
You're good like that. I think that's a really good way. It's a really good take home for anybody listening.
Mm.
That you have your fame has a platform.
Yes.
When you're not on that platform, yes, you could be preparing for the platform, but ultimately there's a different side of you.
People in my normal life that are looking for the famous me are really let down, probably.
Yeah, that happens. 100% happens. I remember one person one time, can't remember where it was we were, but she was very excited to meet you. I think she might have been a wife of a friend of mine, maybe that I went to school with or something. She was very excited to meet you, couldn't wait to ask you what you were doing next. And your answer was, I'm just teaching my dance classes at the moment. She literally almost turned on her heels and walked away.
Yeah.
So disappointed.
Yeah.
With regards to relationships, with regards to us, probably a lot of our friendship groups away from fame now are based on similar circumstances. A lot like other people would, if you work in finance, you'd probably have a lot of friends through finance because that's who you meet.
Parent friends.
We have a lot of parent friends who are both, who are also famous. Like Abby and Pete, we live near them and we worked together, but we know them because we have kids of the same age and it all works. A Sunday lunch is as chaotic for us as it is for them. And there's lots of people like that. So you end up gravitating towards people who are similar to you in both fame and...
But that's what's been so great about parenting and school runs is it's such a leveler.
Yeah.
Like everybody is in it together.
No, all you do, who you are, we're all... scrambling to get to that gate in time.
So if anything, it's been a reintroduction to just, I hate to say normal friendships because everybody's normal, but like...
Famous friendships.
Yeah, the friendships outside of the limelight.
Yeah.
You know, it can be done. But the understanding of like, you know, playing the fame game and keeping that schedule so you can do what it is that you love within entertainment means that you have no idea what's going on tomorrow, let alone a week from now. And I think
that can be difficult.
That is maybe one of the most difficult things.
Yeah, we've got a lot of friends who know we bond over the fact that we all have young kids, and they'll say to us, "Oh, on the 17th of December, we're going to do a big dinner. Are you guys, I thought we'd ask you early so that you guys would be able to block it off." It's like, we won't be able to block it off until about 3 hours before.
Which is horrible.
And it's horrible. And people will never understand what that is. And there's people try different techniques. They'll ask you late. They'll ask you early. They'll tell you to book the babysitter in time. It just makes no difference.
You just don't ultimately get to choose your own schedule. You just have to fly by the seat of your pants at times. Except for things like the Fame Game podcast, because we get to book this in and around sort of our lives and what we do, which is amazing. But that... Never
happens. That's why we're doing it. Work that we can do without feeling riddled with anxiety, whether we'll have to cancel something.
That's it. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's probably the biggest difference.
Scheduling.
Scheduling is a nightmare.
It's going to be your biggest challenge. Yeah, let's do some questions. The question this week...
Would you date or be friends with someone based on level of fame? What's your answer?
Do you know what? I think the overwhelming response is people saying no. Mm-hmm. And I get why people have done that, because it's the politically correct thing to do. But I think it's okay to date somebody based on the level of... Again, it's not necessarily their level of fame that matters. But if there's something like your talent has driven you to be that famous, I'm inspired and I'm attracted to your talent.
Well, that's where, like, then he's a mate, Del Mac, and he's an incredible dancer, choreographer, performer, creative director. Did a lot of whacking with him.
Yep.
That's a dance style. And he says, of course, get to know them behind closed doors. And, like, there's a barrage of, no way.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about connection and heart and whatnot, which I agree with all of you. But I thought this was an interesting perspective because he's coming from a place where he does work with a lot of famous people. And so he's saying yes, because, you know, it could be based on their fame, but you still get to know them behind the closed doors of a rehearsal studio.
They might turn out to be a dick anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think a lot of the no's I've got, you know, no, you need that connection, trust and love from NJ Balkman. No, intelligence, talent, passion, kindness are far more important to me from John Cossatine. No, for me, it's about personality. It's not about what you have or whatever from Joe Bejo, 72. I actually read all those as, so what are you saying? We don't have passion, kindness. My wife is passionate, kind and talented. We do have a connection and it is about personality. Fame doesn't stop you doing those things, but I recognize people might have just said no to be politically correct.
So here's a good one based on that. So Steve says, nope, it's all about the person they are, not the status they hold. And I think status in fame is a funny little one, isn't it?
So that is a better way to answer. And I'm sure that's what everybody meant, that fame is incidental.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a straight no. On the other hand, Matt Evers, Dancing on Ice, just wrote 10,000%, I would.
It's the same with like Don Mac. It's a similar perspective. Now, Batty Summers says, friends, no, neither for dating. I'd rather date and sleep with a rich man. I don't give an F about fame.
Brilliant. Started off so well.
At least Batty is very honest.
Batty, go for it. That's, you know, if that's what you want, that's what you're interested in, if that's what turns you on, go for it.
Well, this is the thing about relationships. What attracts you is different to everybody. Everybody's on a different spectrum. Some girls, some guys are attracted to money.
Well, it's not, it might not necessarily be money, but the safety, security can be so enjoyable and fulfilling for you. But that's the reason why you chose somebody. And maybe looks and sort of connection, which they may have those connections and after a while, but maybe it's less important. Maybe that's secondary.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And then I like this sort of, Mike says, no, I find most modern day celebs to be shallow, vain, and full of self-importance.
Brilliant.
But I will say this is maybe the fault of where we're at as a society. I think that a lot of people that are in the public eye that are known for being super famous do have a lot of these, you know, shallow, vain, full of self-importance. That's what gets them written about. That's what gives them the trolls to give them the hype enough to be in a place of being as famous as they are.
That might not even be who they are behind closed doors. It might not be.
But that's why I feel like there's a thing towards fame that has this blanket statement of feeling like it. There's a huge part of narcissism. And
that's why I think we got a lot of immediate no's on this one.
Yeah.
Whereas it's a little bit more thought. These people are people. It doesn't matter what you do. And it is okay to say yes.
All right, headlines. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So seeing how this is like a series finale, oh my God, have we really come to this point? Craziness. We've decided that these headlines will all be based on us.
I like the idea. Are we guessing the headlines?
Well, not necessarily guessing it, but we can just chat about where that headline came from, where we were at, what was happening.
Nice.
Dive into the relationship.
A wee trip down memory lane.
A wee trip down memory lane. Celebrity master chef Kimberly Wyatt reveals how husband and baby inspired her run to the final. Oh, isn't that nice of me?
Not 100% sure how much the baby helped.
No, that was one of the hardest shows to do ever. Because, of course, practice makes perfect.
It does. Oh, it was so good. It was so good.
Those were the days for you.
Yeah, baby goes to bed, you come home, practice Kansas City barbecue rub salmon 7 times.
Yeah.
Go upstairs crying because you can't do it and it's on the next day and I have 7 lots of salmon to eat.
It was the chocolate fondant with the pistachio that went so horribly wrong. The thing is, I would bring all my ingredients home to practice.
My mouth is actually watering.
And I would try and do around, like make each dish 2 or 3 times in that night.
Unless you got it wrong, in which case you'd keep going.
That's right. And there'd come this point where I would get the baby, get Willow put into bed, she's nice and asleep, go downstairs, chop vigorously, getting everything going. And there's a point where everything starts bubbling and you've got to be there to watch it perfectly so that it ends up as that MasterChef masterpiece that you were after. But in that moment, the baby starts to cry.
And just so you're aware, I'm not being an absent husband. You've been out of the house all day, every day. If the baby cries, you want to go and do your motherly bit. So I courageously sit and continue to wait for my food.
I think it was more about we lived in a townhome that was like 3 floors and you'd go to the very bottom one where Willow is in the very top one, which left me in the middle where I could hear the baby and you probably couldn't.
It's possible.
So I go to tend to the baby, which is not, I just can't get her to be quiet. I can't get her to go to sleep. She's losing her mind. I know that I've got so many things going on in the kitchen that I need to get back, but I can't. So it burns. Yeah. I'll have to start over and I cry.
Yeah.
I cry.
But for those listening, don't worry. Even a little bit burned, it still tastes amazing. So my night wasn't ruined.
And there was even a time when I think Freddie or some of our friends had come over to indulge in the beautiful practices. And I cried in front of them as well.
We were fine, babe. They still were good enough to eat.
It was literally blood, sweat, and tears for that MasterChef experience. And I mean, you did look after your child, which is great.
I did do that role.
Is this why when we do like our big dinners or Thanksgiving or Christmas, you bring the MasterChef trophy and put it on the table when you've made the food?
Yeah.
Just to show that you partook.
Just believe the headline. Like, you can only believe what you read. It says it right there in black and white.
Oh my gosh.
Dancing on Ice's Kimberly White stuns on Wild Night Out with husband Max Rogers.
Ooh, did we have a wild night out? Is that interesting?
You know what? Here's another example of suggestive, comment-provocative headlines. There is no way we've had a wild night out.
Especially the Dancing on Ice saga. Like, that was so intense, and it took every ounce of my being to do that show and give it what I wanted to give. There was no...
What it'll be, we like went to the zoo or something. And they'll have tried to make it look like we've gone out and got caned.
Yeah, I'm into it.
It's the Green Planet, they had Attenborough event.
Me and Dave, we like to throw down.
Devo, they had VR headsets that we walked around in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Trying to make the planet better.
Yeah.
You know, wild. Trying to do our
wild.
Doing our part. Kimberly Wyatt's star-studded wedding left bridesmaid Ashley Roberts in tears. Sue's that hungover.
People got...
Had fun.
...sourced. So much so that there were tears and there were...
I mean, there were tears. She was very happy for us. Yeah. But it's just the sensationalism of it is great.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It's great.
That headline reads as if to say, oh my God, what happened at the wedding that made her cry?
And Ash would have said, I'm just so happy for her. They're like, right, we got what we wanted.
Yeah, they said, did you cry? Oh, it was tears of joy. Brilliant. That's the headline. Yeah, done.
That's it.
And everyone clicked on it. You all clicked on it, didn't you? To see what made her cry.
Then the bots made you stay there.
And somebody sold some advertising. We haven't been on a wild night out for 8 years.
But this feels like, you know, we should.
Dancing on Ice star Kimberly Wyatt had her husband, Max Rogers, in the audience as she skated to a song special to them.
I love how this one is written because it's like I'd placed you right there. You sit there or I go and do my thing. Placed you.
I sat it. Surely, I don't even remember what song it was.
What the heck?
Uh-oh.
Obviously made such an impact on you, didn't it?
I was so busy sitting in place.
Don't you move. Probably with three kids.
What song was
crawling
it?
Around you.
I was there for every single performance.
Must have.
They placed me in all the performances. Yeah. Apart from one.
Place you here. I've always placed not next to our friends.
Yeah, never placed near the people that I want to be placed with, but that's a whole other podcast and a whole other story.
Well, that's a funny thing too. Like, we are in a real relationship. That's a true statement. But depending on sort of who you're working for and the way that they want to produce their entertainment or their stories or whatever, you know, you can sometimes be on, shall we say, the back foot, being placed.
Well, that was a nice trip down memory lane, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? This is the big finale.
I can't believe this is the last of this present series.
Well, what have you learned through this entire series?
Don't go and support you in Dancing on Ice.
Right.
Because you won't be allowed to sit with your friends.
But it's not about you, is it?
What have we learned what have we learned across the entire range of this wonderful meandering series?
I think that for me, it's like everybody is different in how you handle fame and how you conduct yourself, and what might bug you is, for me, is going to be different than somebody else. And being able to tune in to who you are and what you want and what is going to make you feel good is like the most important thing.
I would extend that one step further and advise most people that once you get to that point, the thing that you should be tuning into is the thing that makes your heart sing in terms of talent and what you can do with yourself. Focus on that. And if fame follows or not, it won't matter, because the talent is what you should ultimately be pursuing. And then if fame follows, take it as a nice barometer of success. And if it doesn't, know that you're doing the thing that you would love to have been doing anyway.
But I think, like, ultimately, you don't sweat the small stuff. Oh, but I've loved it. It's been great, hasn't it? Thanks to everybody for listening.
Hopefully you have a broad scope of our appreciation and understanding of fame. Hopefully you've decided on how you're going to approach fame, if indeed you have decided to become famous. Told you it should have been called that.
Oh, dear. Always wants the last word here on the Fame Game, guys. Thank you for listening to this week's The Fame Game. Now, before you go, make sure to hit subscribe or follow, and that means you're first to know of next week's episode.
What my wonderful wife actually means is thank you for listening to So You've Decided to Become Famous. You can also let us know you liked it by rating 5 stars, leaving a lovely review, or by sharing with a friend.
You can follow us at Kimberly Wyatt and at Max Rogers UK. See you next time.
Insanity Group.